So should we talk about investing? All right. Episode 120 of Corporate Lunch. GQ's podcast is about clothes and investing in stocks and fast casual dining, America's first line of defense against whack fits and bad haircuts.
I just want to congratulate all three of us on our IMG contracts.
Thank you. Yeah, it took a while, but it took 120 episodes for us to get there, but here we are. Three of the biggest models in the world.
Yeah, superstars.
It does seem like there's a thing with getting a modeling contract that's like a sort of a certain type of viral moment will often be followed by, and then so-and-so got a modeling contract. Like, what does that mean?
Well, I guess I don't know that it means anything, because as soon as you said that, I was like, well, what about Ken Bone?
Who's that?
Where's his model? You don't remember Ken Bone? He was like, he asked a question during
the debate. Yeah.
2016 debates.
Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
He was
the town hall one.
It was supposed to be like everyone in the audience was undecided, right? And then what wasn't it? Why did Ken Bone become famous? Also, he may have gotten a modeling contract. Like, he's probably out there in like a Sears catalog or something.
Modeling power tools. Joe the plumber. He doesn't have a modeling contract. Where's his modeling contract? Joe the plumber for Loewe. Ken Bone for Off-White.
I see what you're doing there. Was that a pun? Because
what about Bristol Palin? Where's her modeling contract?
I mean, I think what you're saying here is that someone needs to create the kind of agency that caters specifically to this talent, this untapped talent pool out there of tangentially political figures who have all experienced brief but powerful viral moments. And we just want to see more of them, and especially more of them wearing high fashion.
Definitely more of them wearing high fashion.
How are your guys' stock portfolios though? Seriously, are you guys, Sam, I know you're as a member of the Reddit stock community.
Well, I mean, we should discuss the Corporate Lunch IPO that's coming soon. Corporate Lunch is going to incorporate as a company that sells hats. And all I'm saying is just, you know, mortgage your house, like sell all of your belongings and just plow all of your liquidity into the Corporate Lunch IPO, please. And then hold. I think that's how
it works. That's right. We're a hat company. That's what we do.
Well, don't you guys get the sense that like Elon Musk is only starting these businesses to make merch?
It feels that way for sure. I mean, like he just wants to be Metallica, you know?
Yeah.
Like famous, but mostly for people wearing your name on a shirt and screaming when they see you.
People scream when they see Elon Musk.
Yeah. And to be honest, I only got in this game for the merch myself. Which we're not doing a very good job at. There is a hat, a Corporate Lunch hat you can buy. Probably the best hat ever made. But anyway, Sam just bought some of the Taliban sneakers. Sam, you want to tell us about your Taliban sneakers?
I did try to buy a pair of Sarwee's Cheetah High Tops yesterday after the New York Times published a story that I was actually quite jealous of. I don't admit this very often, but I wish I had written the story about the Taliban's extremely cool sneakers.
Yeah.
I've seen the big photo that they use as the lead. I've seen that before. I remember marveling at the lacing technique that one of the guys, the grid, which looks like it could be like Rick Owens or something. I mean, it's sort of like an old school, like high school skater thing for easy access. But the Sarwee's Cheetah is just a great piece of design. And I tried to buy a pair yesterday, but they're just not available on the internet. It's like maybe the only sneaker in the world that you can't buy online. Sarwee's is a Pakistani company. They sell other shoes on the internet. But not even like Alibaba had a pair of like loose cheetahs floating around. They're not on Grail, there's not on eBay. Not on like weird fake websites that try to scam you. Like, I think the company tries not to tries not to make them so available at this point, given their notoriety. But
what does the story tell us about the relationship to the Taliban specifically? And like, it's like a basketball sneaker, right? Like, it must just be some kind of regular ass basketball shoe that was like available and was considered of the right kind of quality and performance and durability for a certain usage that, you know, terrorist groups appreciated.
Yeah, well, it was designed as a performance product. It sort of like this Pakistani company, Sarwis, wanted to make a really great athletic sneaker for basketball or whatever. And they're quite cheap. And as far as performance goes, clearly there's something there. Because not only the Taliban, but also like Afghan security forces wear them because they're very durable. They're very, very comfortable. If you think about like what the alternative is, which is probably like a combat boot or something that's like a little bit more unwieldy, probably less forgiving, probably gives you blisters. The Sarwis Cheetah is like a big, cushy Jordan-esque. It's like a Jordan meets like a Rick Owens dunk or something.
All right. Well, we need that Afghan proxy service, which someone should get popping off, and we can order pairs and come back with a real test. I mean, today on the pod, we're going to do our favorite things we saw at Fashion Week, a little audio listicle, if you will. I don't know. I think the Sarwis Cheetahs are up there with one of my favorite things that I saw this week. So I'll put that on the list. Maybe that can just go ahead and be number one on the list, if you guys will allow it.
Yeah, I think it's tied with the. I think it's tied with the video of that TikTok woman who is raising a beaver that she saved in captivity, and the beaver is now at the point in its life where it's sort of like trying to build dams with various objects in her home, and at one point it tries to drag her like BB sandal into its dam, and she's like, no, that's my summer sandal. I found that to be a really compelling fashion film.
It says tells you a lot about desire and BB sandals and animal nature and stuff,
right? Like, what kind of taste do beavers have in shoes?
Yeah,
for them, a summer sandal is quite practical as a part of a dam.
It's funny to think that if summer sandals were as like plentiful as sticks and leaves and stuff in nature, beaver dams would just be these huge piles of sandals.
That's right.
Like those hats that come to Garçon.
That's right. It really also makes you understand. It makes you understand the idea of desire, and that when you really got to have something, like when I see a pair of shoes, I just got to have them. You know how that beaver was feeling. I got to have these sandals to stop the water, to build my dam, my shelter where I'll live and raise my family. So
the beaver doesn't even understand why it wants them. It just instinctually needs it.
Yeah.
It needs those sandals.
Just like any hype beast in line on a Thursday morning on Lafayette Street. Just they gotta get the box logos home to build the dam. All right. So the top 10 best things we saw of Fashion Week. We got honorable mentions for Taliban sneakers, honorable mentions for the woman who's raising a beaver who's just like us and needs shoes to fill the void in the dam, and honorable mention for New York's very own Snowy Owl, which I think was brought, you know, sent to New York by God as a symbol of nature,
and fashion coming together.
That's exactly right. The Snowy Owl is the manifestation of fashion and nature finally finding like a true physical form. That's right. Have you guys ventured? I wonder if you go see it, is there just a crowd? It's like the sexy duck all over again. There's tourists there and it's probably difficult. The owl probably doesn't appreciate it. Rachel, you and Lloyd haven't gone over there to get a look with your binoculars?
We're going tomorrow. We're going tomorrow.
All right. Well, keep us posted. We maybe we'll have to do an emergency Snowy Owl pod like we did for the Prada. All right. We got coffee. We got, all right. The top 10 things, best things we saw. And this is this list, you know, we've covered Rick. We did Rick Owens and Kim Jones Dior show and the Virgil Abloh Vuitton show. And we did
a Prada
talk. So we're going to talk about, this is going to be other stuff.
Best
just to be clear
rest.
About. All right. Who's going to do number 10? Sam, boot up number 10 here. This one's close to your heart.
All right. Number 10 is the Rude and McLaren collaboration. Debut in the Rude show, fall winter 21. McLaren, for those who don't know, I mean, I have, you know, evangelized for Formula One on this podcast many times and elsewhere. The sport itself is very sick. The merch and the things that you can buy that are like branded with Formula One teams are not sick at all. It's like very like, it's kind of like nerdy, like jackets with like the Ferrari logo on it or whatever. You know, it's sort of like a, it's like airport, like merch shop gear basically. But the vintage merch from you know, like the golden era of Formula One is extremely, extremely sick. And Ruigi from Rude collaborated with McLaren, the Formula One team, and Carmaker, and made some really nice, just like retro leather jackets, you know, resurrected some cool logos from McLaren. I just think it looks great. And it's kind of what you want like all Formula One merch to be like. Extremely luxurious, extremely expensive, pretty badass. And apparently it's the start of a longer, a long-term partnership between the two brands. So more to come.
Watch this.
Very space. Aspirational.
They did not make a car, unfortunately.
Well, who needs a car when you have a jacket?
But maybe that's nice. Who needs a Rude McLaren when you have a Kith BMW?
Yeah, I mean, the Kith BMW sort of seems like an easier sell than the Rude McLaren, but I don't know. Who knows? Who knows? Anything's possible. It's the one thing, the only thing we know. All right, number 9 is, I'll do it. I'll say it. It's The Row. It's the new collection from Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen's The Row. What a collection. What a sophisticated and beautiful and people always say quietly luxurious, which it quite frankly is. But I think all that aside, there was a few standout men's Lukes, L-E-W-K-S, that I sort of think that The Row has secretly designed some great menswear designer. We'll never know who it is who's in there making these beautiful clothes. I'll need to work on it to figure out who it is, but maybe it's not.
Well, they're doing all this really weird stuff lately. Weird, like creative stuff. Yeah. So they've been selling vintage, like essentially the pieces that they have in their own archive that have inspired things that they've made from these like super legendary Comme des Garçons and you know, Yoji collections and Armani and that kind of stuff. So they're selling that at their stores. And then the way that they rolled out this collection was they just put it on their own website and they were like, you can pre-order this now. Like, it doesn't even appear that they did any kind of like press around it, which I just think is so cool.
I'm obsessed with look 17 from this Row collection, which is a women's look, but just simple white button-down shirt layered under a long black like boiled wool dress, and then topped off with these big ass like very Olsen-y riding boots.
Yeah, the giant riding boots are cool.
The fact that The Row is selling vintage pieces from Armani, Combe, and Yoji when the collection very directly references those designers is such like a interesting and sort of risky meta-textual way of like framing the Row collection and also kind of reveal, like, I mean, lots of designers would probably be a little more careful about sort of hiding or concealing or being not so upfront about where the references are coming from.
Probably, but it also makes them look so great because it's like, this is what you should be wearing our stuff with.
Yeah.
Like, you should be wearing The Row with like Margiela era Hermes. Like, that's where it should be.
Yeah.
It's a nice way to sort of position themselves and what they're doing and what they're about.
Smart. All right, what's number whatever? Eight.
Comme des garçons. Comme des garçons. Comme des garçons.
That's it. En plus. Comme des garçons en plus.
A pretty cool collection, I think. I felt like this collection was so great because they, first of all, they've been getting so theoretical with their theoretical and then theatrical with their clothes, where it was like, you know, like they did that crazy aggressive like metalhead punk collection where everything was covered in chains, which was like pretty rad, but like slightly unwearable. And then they did the Orlando stuff, which was interesting, but like, again, you didn't really want to wear it.
Yeah.
And this had so many pieces in it, like these long, like skinny coats, and then these cropped jackets with these very kind of like baggy skater trousers.
Yeah, I felt like it was,
I thought it was great.
Coming back to, I don't know, not maybe not coming back to, but it was full of, it felt more like it was in conversation with like what's happening in contemporary menswear, but in a good way. Like, you never want Comme des Garçons to feel like it's like part of whatever the trends are, what's really happening. But like, this felt like it was still outside of it, but like in sync with it in a way that was, I think like when that's when these collections are the best. And of course it had a fully kind of retooled Nike Foamposite, which is kind of amazing, an iconic shoe.
The Comeposite, if you will.
The Comeposite, nice one, Sam. And yeah, just very like, yeah, the fit of those baggy pants, like the proportions of everything. I think it's the best Comme collection in a long time, for sure. And like, I don't know, one of those Comme collections where I'm like, damn, I'm psyched for this to hit the racks over at Dover Street or the Comme store in Chelsea to go poke around and like see what it's like IRL. Play dress up. Woohoo! Yeah, Comme des Garçons back in its prime. All right. What's number seven?
Wales Bonner. This was a really cool collection. First, what the thing I liked the most about it is that a number of the tailoring pieces she made with Anderson and Shepherd.
Oh. The tailoring is so good.
It's so great. And I think that's such a good partnership. Anderson and Shepherd is just getting cooler and cooler.
I know. How is that being messaged? Like, how is the Anderson Shepherd thing being messaged? Is it like, I mean, obviously all kinds of designers would outsource tailoring, you know, to the best tailors in the world and not necessarily make it like a collaboration or something. Is this something that's being, you know, marketed as something like a collaboration or a partnership? Or is it more just like, this is where the tailoring is made and that's just part of the story? You know what I mean?
It was more like the latter. I mean, I asked her when I interviewed her, I was like, wow, these tuxedo jackets are so great. There's this section of tuxedo jackets in the front part of the collection that are particularly incredible and kind of funky, actually. and I asked her, like, oh, you've been doing like more and more tailoring. And she just sort of dropped it as like, oh, yeah, I just decided to work with Anderson and Shepherd to make some of these pieces. So I don't think it's being marketed as like a collaboration. I don't think she doesn't really like do collaborations in that way, other than when she did the Adidas partnership.
Yeah, there's a lot of
Adidas. I think she thinks of like everything she does as a collaboration. So she's just kind of like everything is a creative partnership.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes sense. That's kind of how I approach my life. Like if I go to the deli and I get a sandwich and I'm like, no, but like, I want you to toast the bread and like put the jalapenos on it. Like that's a creative collaboration between me and the deli. It's not a...
Well, between you and the sandwich artist.
Yeah. I mean, a creative partnership. It's not like I'm not like, oh, I got a new collab out and it's this like sandwich. What's number six?
Have you guys been getting those ads for the Shawn Mendes bowl?
No, what the fuck is that? Like
I get these Twitter ads that are like tweets from Shawn Mendes that are like, I have a Chipotle bowl. And I don't understand why, because like I can't name a Shawn Mendes song. I think he's a singer. He's not an actor. And I don't go to Chipotle, but I keep getting these ads. I'm sorry. Number six is the Shawn Mendes Chipotle bowl.
Wait, how do we get, we should get a menu item though. Someone should give us a menu item, a corporate lunch.
Yeah.
Bowl.
Dig in. Where's dig in? Yeah.
Quinoa vegan barbacoa.
I think we missed one, guys.
All right. We missed one. So we're going to back up and it's going to be number six. What did we miss?
The Aleeks monopolymer sandal.
Oh, you know, all right. So Aleeks, Matthew Williams is out here with his you know, souped up Crocs from the future monopolymer, which I think is probably the name of this like injection molded rubbery plastic stuff. That's, my guess is that they feel like Crocs, or maybe they're a little sturdier than that. Anyway, so the Aleeks one has a very sleek, or there's also the Yeezy thing, right? The Yeezy, whatever, that one piece foam slide on shoe.
Foam runner.
Yeah.
Foam runner.
The Aleeks ones are sick, especially this bright pink one. And then there's like a metallic one, but Matt Williams kind of like revealed them on his Instagram in this very like casual way. But that's always one of the cool things about what happens when Fashion Week starts going down, which is that all the designers are like spending way more hands-on time with the actual samples that they probably just got from the factories in time for the shoot or the show. And will often like reveal, you know, you get a little behind the scenes action, which is when you can see some like detail and like discover some cool stuff. Monopolymers. I fuck with these. These are sick looking.
I just love clothing that looks like it's really, really hard.
Like,
I think it's amazing.
Like it's made of stone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also just stuff that looks like nothing you've ever seen before. Like that's always kind of good. I mean, these, like I said, these kind of, they're somewhere between a Croc and a Yeezy foam runner and I don't know what.
The ones that have the foam base with the suede top are pretty spectacular.
Wait, what? Oh, in the show. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. I mean, Matt Williams, like all those Nikes he designs are totally psycho in a cool way. The guy knows how to experiment with footwear design.
I was just going to say, it's nice to hear from Aleeks again. Feels like it's been, it's, you know, everyone's been talking about Givenchy. But I thought this was one of his better Aleeks collections in a while.
Good point. And you'll remember it wasn't too long ago when you and Matt Williams were in like, I don't know, Washington Square Park talking about Belgian loafers for a GQ style shoot. One of the great GQstyle.com pieces we did many moons ago.
When I gave him his big break almost 5 years ago.
Congratulations to all of today's winners and really to everyone out there who's just trying, who's doing their best.
We're not all done. Right. What are you talking
about? Yeah, no, but it was like a mid. I thought it was a good opportunity to kind of check in midway. All right, yeah, that was number six. We're at the halfway point. And
TRL.
Carson Daly's new collection. What does ERL mean? It probably is the guy's name. I don't know anything about it. It's just shameful.
Eli Russell Lynette.
This fucking collection is great. Truly great. Who's got the goods? Who's got the good backstory here? Is it the first ERL collection to be... I know the brand's been around for a bit. Is this the first collection to sort of launch like on Vogue Runway as like a collection?
Yes. Essentially what happened was that he was pretty good friends with Adrian from Comme des Garçons and Dover Street Market. And Eli was like, you know, I'd love to do a clothing collection. And he was like, you should go for it.
Yeah.
So Dover Street and Comme des Garçons produce the collection and he designs it with his sister in their studio in Venice.
Oh, they're Italians? Or that's just where they're working?
No, 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 Venice, California.
Oh, right, Venice Beach. didn't he design a bunch of shit for Kanye? Or he just, Kanye just wore one of his sweatshirts or something?
He he's directed a number of videos for Kanye.
Oh.
And he and Kanye are very close friends. Kanye hit him up, he told me, and was like, I love this clothing. Can I get all these pieces? And Eli was like, I have a no gifting policy. So Kanye just went to Dover Street and bought a ton of stuff.
There you go. It's the way to do it. Honestly, that's the risk. This collection is great. It starts out like real sexy. There's a guy like putting a baseball bat in his underwear, and like it kind of looks like almost like a Abercrombie catalog. Like,
yeah,
I guess it's just one. It's just one model throughout, right? It is.
It's not.
There's a few guys. It's mostly one guy.
Yeah, but they all look like Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
But this is like, I don't know, just like you look through this lookbook and it's like every look kind of like adds and builds on an idea and does something sort of surprising and unexpected. And then you get to like about the midpoint and you have just like these amazing, huge, full cut white nylon trousers and like furry suede shirt and fur tote bags and like jester hats, and then there's like ski boots, and it just like it just escalates in such an amazing and surprising and extremely cool way. I did not know the Kohn Megarsson collection. That's fascinating. It kind of makes a lot of sense.
This ERL collection includes a Salomon collab, but it's not like a Salomon sneaker collab, which, you know, many other brands have done. And Salomon sneakers are dope, and like it's a nice like feather in a young designer's cap, I feel like, to get a Salomon collab these days. But Eli just like made a bunch of skis and ski boots with them. It seems like, you know, there's like ski goggles in the collab, there's ski poles, it's sort of like the full you know, Lake Tahoe fit, but all like glammed out with these weird like sort of like very 70s style prints.
And those like jester hats are amazing. I mean, I want one of those. I really need one of those for next year.
I mean, for those following along on the internet, and I guess we'll post this somewhere, but look 18 is just like incredible. It has the big spiked hat and this shearling shirt, like kind of a western shirt. I could do without the destroyed Vans. I feel like there could have been but I mean, it's working here. But the pant is like the pant goes on the shopping list. If only.
Do you guys remember when people used to wear like beanies with spiky things coming out of them, like these spiky hats?
It's also a very like 90s skier thing. I mean, I think it ties into the skier theme of the collection. You used to have these fleece, extreme skier, gonzo spiky hats and like fake mohawks and stuff like that. Liberty spike, fake fleece Liberty spikes. What a great collection. What's number four? Oh, number four. Getting into the good stuff. Say it. Do it.
Vet mom.
Fans
raising the roof.
What was it? 165 looks of just like pure delight. What a statement. This isn't their first collection without Demna, right?
No. It's their second, maybe even their third.
And now the mouthpiece for the brand is Guram, who's Demna's brother and the president of the company or something.
Yes.
So has he assumed the role of the designer, or they don't have a designer, they just have Guram?
It's all very secretive.
No one will know.
It's a collective, Noah.
Yeah, I know. It was always supposed to be a collective, but collectives is people always want to know, like, but who's the number one part of the collective?
Like in our collective.
Yeah, like we're a collective, but
it's pretty obvious.
We all know who the boss is.
We know who the leader is.
Yeah. I always find Vetements collections to be massively entertaining. And I think that you get so much like cultural commentary out of it without even doing like a deep analysis of it. Cause I don't even think it's always all that deep. And sometimes it's quite the trolling and the low hanging fruit does feel a little bit cheap, but I thought this collection, it's 165 looks. It starts literally in hell. That, you know, the models are look like sort of action heroes, you know, dystopian action heroes in a burning hellscape. As it moves through that, they enter Earth and there's sort of a rainbow jungle waterfall vibe. And that's the Earth we all know and love and hope to save and will be around for us for a little while. And then it finally moves on into heaven, the pearly gates in the bright blue skies of heaven or whatever. And it's just such a journey, a mythical journey. And there's just insane fashion throughout.
Should we each say what our favorite look was out of all 165?
Yes. Hell yes. Fuck. My favorite motherfucking look. I love the t-shirt that says mainstream crossed out. It really does all like look like a video game too.
Well, a lot of it is knockoffs of other brands.
Really? Like what?
Well, there are knockoffs of Balenciaga under Guess Gear. There are also like these kinds of nods to famous costumes, like This Is Pretty Woman. And there are some other ones in here that are just like, oh, there is one that looks like Raph's Calvin. There's one that looks like Margiela. So just all these.
It's like full of characters and homages and stuff.
Mm-hmm. They even did an homage to one of Demna's Balenciaga collections with the Bernie logo. It says
Gvasalia. Oh, that's right.
There's this Chrome Hearts hoodie that I really like. This Chrome Hearts, it's a Chrome Hearts shirt layered over a Chrome Hearts hoodie that says worldwide trademark at 666% extreme quality hardcore tour 21st century.
I really, really like look 76, which includes a guy holding a can of Red Bull. I mean, you know, the highs and lows of fashion. All right, let's keep it rolling. What's
JW Anderson?
Hell yeah. Number three. I think we're on number three. It doesn't even matter. It's number three if I say it's number three. JW Anderson collection.
I loved this collection. I liked this was one of the first time in a long time where I felt like a JW Anderson collection, the clothing was like way more fun than Loewe. I always think Loewe is really creative and like super fashiony, but for some reason the mood for this season felt better for JW Anderson. And the giant pants were so freaking cool. These huge apron pants are amazing. I loved these like prairie dresses that he showed on men and women and these big furry tops. It felt like everything was like a template for like a more absurd idea,
mm-hmm.
which I really liked. I loved these like tunics with the big squishy belts that were cinched in them. It was just all great.
Oh yeah, the big squishy belt. Nice vegetables,
mm-hmm.
actual vegetables.
And I like that he worked with Jürgen Teller. Like I think Jürgen Teller seems like a pretty unnatural, like they don't really have, I don't think of Jürgen Teller and Jonathan Anderson as having like a natural connection because Jonathan Anderson is so like into sex and like ideas and Jürgen Teller is like, get in a bag, let's get in a hot tub, I'm so funny, like I'm not wearing pants. They're just, they have a totally different wavelength, so I think they created like a really funky and cool lookbook together.
I think that look too here is like a goddamn near perfect fit. It's like the
hairy top
that super wide pant with his now iconic loafer. I mean, super wide pant doesn't really quite say it. It's like a pant with wings. It's a winged pant, which I think is like a not a totally original cut. I think that Yoji used to cut a pant like this, which is not surprising, and not to say anything about the merits of this collection, which I think is just goddamn great.
I also like that he cut the pants in different fabrics. So sometimes they're saggy and sometimes they're super sharp, like wings.
Yeah. 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 It made me think a lot about how they would wear like throughout the day, you know? I mean, I imagine you can kind of like, that seam has a bit of structure, so you could sort of pop them out and let it stand, or you could like knock them down and let them sort of collapse into the leg of the pant.
Okay.
Number two.
Is number four.
Number two is number four. Number two is indeed 4S Designs. Angelo Urrutia's Fall Winter 21 collection, the third collection for this brand. That is very new and very, probably one of the like sort of most interesting developments to watch right now, I think. Angelo's just so full of good fucking ideas and knowledge and 20 years experience working for engineered garments, which is no joke. I promise you, the way they make things and the production and development that goes into that collection that Angelo was really responsible for. And then with 4S, it's like all he's making everything in Italy. And then he has all this like serious passion and appreciation for European fashion. Armani he loves, and Chanel and Margiela, and so it's all kind of there. There's just a ton of ideas in this collection. And I've always sort of really wanted a Chanel jacket, one of those collarless, like the one, I think Pharrell wore one. Mark Goring from O32C was wearing one, wasn't he?
Oh, wait. Mark has a big, like wide oversized blazer in the Chanel Coupe fabric, which is—
Maybe I'm mixing it sick. Up. Anyway, always really wanted like a Chanel jacket, but that's not gonna happen. But he did one in kind of fluorescent, like construction worker orange, double face boucle wool. That's just like the Chanel construction worker jacket. That's just goddamn perfect. Definitely my favorite thing that I've seen.
Rachel and I were supposed to go see the collection with you the other day, but due to scheduling difficulties, we did not. What you're saying is we fucked up, basically.
You guys fucked up. It was an adventure too. I got there and I parked outside. I parked the truck out front where illegally in commercial parking only, and left my flashers on and came down an hour later. And I was like, yes, no ticket. And then went to start my car and my car was dead. All right. Number one, the best thing we saw at Fashion Week is something that no one is going to see coming. A beautiful secret, a hidden gem. And that is crocheted hats made by my man Yusuke he's the manager of the Nanamica store. He doesn't like, they don't have anything to do with Nanamica, but that's where you find him in the hats. And he's probably going to kill me for doing this, blowing up his spot. But I promise you, Yusuke is out there crocheting these shockingly beautiful, surprising little creature-like hats. He used to make some bags and stuff as well, but right now he seems to be focusing on these hats. If you're lucky and you wander into the Nanamica store, which is new and I think in Soho, and he's there, he might have one that you could purchase perhaps. But just a glorious little discovery from, I've talked a lot about things, handmade things and things made by friends and things, making things yourself and getting to know people who make things. And Yusuke's hats are just number one on my list right now. And therefore they're number one on this list because I am the boss. I sent you guys pictures of the hats. I talked too much about them. Would you guys wear these hats?
Oh my God, I really like the hats. I really, really like these hats. They have the perfect scale.
I love the names he assigns to them. Meat sauce beanie, crocheted seaweeds and egg beanie. That one's great.
Tamago soup beanie.
Crocheted tiramisu beanie.
Delicious little beanies.
So how do you cop one of these?
I really don't know. You got to follow Yusuke on Instagram. I think his name is like Yuskography or something. And then, you know, maybe you could DM him, literally wander into the store and say, hey, I heard about you on Corporate Lunch. And he's a friend of the pod, a listener. And maybe we could get a little community kind of hat exchange thing going on. Also, if you're out there making hats, I mean, I've crocheted some hats. Send me your handmade hats, not send them to me, but like DM me a link or a picture or like this. Normally they have to go through Sam, but if you're hand making hats, you can send them. This is the only time I will ever grant permission to send directly to me.
I think Yusuke should send one to Bernie.
It would be a good Bernie kind of, it would be good for Bernie.
Great.
Do you think that people after the inauguration, like Bernie's office just was flooded with like knit mittens?
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously we've sort of, I think we talked about this, but a big part of the story here is that the woman who knit Bernie's mittens, which are years old, doesn't make mittens anymore because she's a fucking teacher.
We talked about this last episode.
I know. But what I'm gonna say is that what's a shame is that what if Bernie had worn mittens by a young struggling mitten maker who had a huge inventory of unsold mittens and could have had this like massive opportunity to sell mittens. But instead the person who's getting all the mitten publicity doesn't even make mittens and doesn't want to talk about them. And frankly, might be a Republican.
Yeah. I think politicians should like strategically wear backstock, like past season seconds, whatever, like, you know, just like the bottom of the barrel, like sample sale stuff that brands like really need to get rid of. They really want to support the fashion industry. Like, you know, Chuck Schumer should wear like an off-white hoodie that just never hit, that like no thrift shop in Chicago has like 1,000 of still.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a really great point. I mean, because
otherwise they have to sell them to like the streetwear boxes, mystery streetwear boxes, like Heat or whatever.
If these elected officials love fashion like they say they do when they're on the campaign trail, then they should be, you know, supporting it by wearing, yeah, overstock from past seasons that needs to be cleared out.
Oh my God, this episode has been like 100 years long.
All right, folks, Rachel's over it. Rachel's done with this episode. Her hair can only look so good and withstand about 60 minutes of recording, and then it turns into a pumpkin. And that, folks, is the end of episode 120 of Corporate Lunch. Thank you for being a part of this community. Thank you for making this house a home with us. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.